So Lord, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. You'll notice placed throughout our service this morning, strategically placed psalms or verses from the psalms, because today in our journey in the year of the Bible, we come to the book of Psalms. Any one of you who've got any kind of contact with teenagers, anyone between the ages of 15 and 18, will be aware that we are currently entering into the midst of exam season. Anyone between 15 and 18, GCSEs, A-levels, they're revising so hard, they're working, they're making their notes, and they, if they're anything like me, do their revision by highlighting things. That was my technique of learning. I would go through my notes and I would highlight things that I thought were the key things. And it always reminds me of a friend who was involved in a church and wanted to learn his Bible better. He wanted to sort of get more deeply into the Word of God, as he would put it. And so what he did was every time there was a song or a worship, a hymn or any kind of chorus that had words from the Bible in them, he would go to his Bible and highlight them in his book, so that he had all of these sort of verses that stood out that he would learn. In the end, he said he had to give it up, because when he got to the book of Psalms, the entire book was highlighted. And he found that the whole page just sort of shone this weird, luminous yellow kind of thing. As we come to look at the book of Psalms today, it always makes me think of that story. As how do we approach the book of Psalms? I don't know how familiar you are with it. There are 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. You will be pleased to know we're not doing an in-depth look at each chapter this morning. But sometimes it seems like it's just too much to deal with. We might recognize famous phrases, but that's all we ever get into. That's the only depth that we can understand the Psalms. We just cherry pick verses here and there until we discover that, well, pretty much all of our service and all of the songs we've ever sung have been sung for centuries by people. See, the Psalms are a collection of poems, of prayers, of hymns that go back thousands of years. They were collected over a wide period of time, about 500 years plus, by the people of Israel. They were a collection of these poems of Middle Eastern origin. There's all kinds of technical things that you can really get into as you look at the Psalms. There's things like parallelism. It's a more tricky word to say than I thought. There are phrases. There's psalms that are constructed very cleverly using the Hebrew alphabet. There's things which we call chiasms, which are bits that are repeated in inverse form in one place to another. There's all kinds of things going on in the Psalms. So how do we get into them? How do we use the book of Psalms? When we read through the Bible, how do we read Psalms? Because it doesn't fit neatly into a nice narrative line. It doesn't fit neatly into a history. Bits of it were written in one context. Bits of it were written as a unified kingdom, the people of Israel in Jerusalem. Bits of it were written when the kingdom had divided into the northern and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom with Jerusalem, the kingdom of Judah, the northern kingdom, Ephraim, and the way that they worshipped differently. Bits of it were written during the exile, when the Babylonians took the people of Israel across. Bits of it were written after the return, when they were rebuilding the temple under Nehemiah and Ezra. All of it is different. There are long psalms, Psalm 119, and very short psalms. There are psalms that are incredibly happy and joyous, and there are psalms that are very, very sad and uncomfortable to read. So how do we read the Psalms? Eugene Peterson says this: everything that a person can possibly feel, experience, and say is brought into expression before God in the Psalms. Everything that a person can possibly feel, experience, and say is brought into expression before God in the Psalms. So I want to say to you first this morning this: the book of the Psalms is there for you. That's the first thing. It should be a book that we're more familiar with. It should be a book that we read more. It should be a book that we get deeper into. Because everything is in there. Now, the whole purpose of this year of the Bible is not for us to get a greater technical knowledge of any particular book in the Bible. That's not what we're doing. We're trying to give an oversight, a sort of a top-down picture of how all these things fit together and what we do with them. So, particularly with the Psalms, I'm going to neatly step around some of the theology of the Psalms. Different people have at different times tried to categorize the Psalms, because you can kind of see some patterns. And some people tell you there are 5 different types of Psalms. And some people tell you there are 4 different types of Psalms. And some people tell you there are 7 different types of Psalms. Don't worry about all of that. I want to offer you, though, instead, an oversight of the Psalms in sort of just 3 easy-to-remember ways. And this is nothing original. This comes from a guy called Walter Brueggemann, who's an American theologian, and he says that actually, if you really think about it, there are 3 different types or 3 different ways to think about each psalm. First of all, there are the psalms of orientation. These are the psalms which, when we read them, we go, oh yeah, that's how things should be. These are the straightforward, simple psalms where we kind of just nod and go, yes, that's exactly how it should be. There are also psalms of what he calls disorientation. These are the psalms which confess disorder in life, the uncomfortableness of life, the difficulties of life, the psalms that talk about this isn't how it should be. This is not how things are meant to be. And there are plenty of those psalms. Psalms of orientation. This is how things should be. Psalms of disorientation. This isn't how it should be. And then latterly, he says, psalms of reorientation. So psalms of orientation, psalms of disorientation, and psalms of reorientation. And the psalms of reorientation are the ones where it goes beyond. It confesses that actually there's a new order. That God is at work doing something and it doesn't fit neatly into simple boxes. We confess there is a hope beyond order. Recognizes that things don't always neatly tie up, but that there is more. There is more. And I think if we can hold those 3 things in our heads as we read through the Psalms, it can be quite an easy or helpful way of us getting through them. Because sometimes, like I say, we approach the Psalms like a box of chocolates. We find our favourite one, Psalm 23. We'll go back to that one. Or we find a psalm that fits our mood. I'm in a really good mood today. I'm going to read a cheery, praisey psalm. Or I'm having a really difficult day. I'm going to find a sad psalm. But I think if we do that, we miss out on a lot. Because the psalms are not some form of spiritual painkiller to take the edge off. They're instead a permission to bring to God the fullness of all our experience in life. You see, the rich panoply of human emotion that's contained in them is not there for us to consume. But it's there for us to be inspired by, liberated by, encouraged by. We find hope and reassurance that others have journeyed along before us in the paths that we are now treading. And we appreciate the language and poetry of the words and imagery, but more than those things, we see in them the permission to bring to God our own journey, knowing that there is nothing that is too uncomfortable, too raw, too untidy, too unpleasant to bring to God. Because the Psalms contain all of that stuff. Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon. You may be familiar with it through the works of that great duo, Boney M. Now, when Boney M recorded that, they only recorded the first few verses of the psalm, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, yada yada, lovely, beautiful. The final verses of Psalm 137 are really, really uncomfortable. I'm going to read them to you now. I'll just give you a little It feels like I shouldn't have to say this in church, but please be warned as you listen to these words, because these are actually really unpleasant words. O daughter Babylon, you devastator, happy shall be they who pay you back for what you have done to us. Happy shall be they who take your little ones and dash them against the rocks. This is in the Bible. This is in the book of Psalms. You see, the Psalms are not systematic theology. There's what I would call bad thinking in them. A little bit like in the book of Job, we have Job's friends who give him advice, some of which is terrible advice. Turns out in the Bible, there's more than a simple do or don't. Here's another example from the Psalm, Psalm 37. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Really? You've never seen righteous people suffering. You've never seen righteous people who are poor and unable to provide. I look around the world and I see that's not true. Psalm 139, another one of those beautiful psalms that starts off with, Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then it goes on at the end. It goes, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Change of gear. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. Yes, there is. Just that verse before, you were talking about hatred. That stuff. You see, the Psalms are not meant to be read as a do's and don'ts. They're to be read as spiritual journey, not complete. We, when we read the Psalms, are reading over other people's shoulders. Even with the corporate prayers, the intended audience is not us, it's God. And that is why we need them. That's why I am such a big fan of the Psalms. Because we need to be like that with God. We need to bring before him everything that we are. We don't need to just pretend and polish that we've got everything sorted. 90 minutes on a Sunday morning, that's us. Look at this tidy little box. Actually, God invites us to bring before him all of our mess, all of our brokenness, all of our untidiness and our pain, our worries and our fears. The book of Psalms, if nothing else, says to us, it's okay to bring this stuff to God. Because it seems from Psalms that the bar is quite low. God listens. And the other thing is that the Psalms remind us, actually, that God is not detached. God is not separate. God is not a long way from us. Our journey trying to follow Jesus in this world, it's not easy. But we're not alone. Hebrews reminds us that we have a great high priest who has been tested in every respect as we are. In other words, Jesus has gone through all of this stuff as well. God is not detached. God is not unaware. Our misconceptions of who God is should be challenged by the prayers contained in the Psalms. God is holy, but he is not distant. God is worthy of the very best praise and worship that we can bring. But we don't need to wait until we've got it all together before we come to him. God is righteous, but that doesn't mean we can't come in our brokenness. So where do we go from here? I want to suggest to you some practical things. Get into the Psalms. Read the Psalms. Don't just read the ones that you feel a connection with today. Read them all. Because on those days when you are feeling full of joy and praise, you need to know that you have brothers and sisters who are hurting and struggling. And on those days when you are hurting and struggling, you need to know that it is still okay to praise God. And there will be people who can do that. We need to get ready to bring to God everything. Because the message of Psalms is a message of invitation. God is calling us, welcoming us, beckoning us into relationship. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you have said in your prayers, God invites all people into relationship with him, into freedom, into new life. That is what Jesus is about. There is no barrier. Jesus has made a way for us in our brokenness. So, read the Psalms. Pray the Psalms. Allow the Psalms to speak to those places of orientation where you are and you go, yes, this is how the world should be. Thank you, Lord. Allow the Psalms to speak to your places of disorientation. Those things in your life where you know, this is not right, God. This is not how the world should be. And allow the Psalms to speak of your reorientation. Faced towards Jesus, where he changes things, where he transforms things, where he beckons us beyond our mess into what is and will be. The purpose of reading the Bible, and particularly reading the Psalms, is not to gain information about God, but it's an invite into relationship with him. So, get into the Psalms, read them more deeply, listen to them, pray them, write your own. More than any other book that we have so far encountered on our journey through the Bible, this one book reminds us of the invitation through the written word of the Bible towards the living word that is Jesus. As John says, in the beginning was the Word who was with God and was God. Jesus, God's living word. And this book invites us deeper into that word. We don't normally do this on a Sunday morning, but the choir are now going to sing an anthem at this stage. And they're going to sing Psalm 100, that wonderful hymn of thanksgiving. And I'm going to invite us all to listen to it, not as performance, but to use it as our response, as our worship. Hear the words and make them your own, because God invites us to bring to him all that we have. Amen.